Okay, welcome back to Caring for the Flock, Part 1B. Now, in Part 1A, we saw that the Old Testament looks forward to the day where there will be a good shepherd that will truly take care of the flock of God, the people of God, not like those shepherds talked about in Ezekiel 34. And of course, that good shepherd was Jesus Christ. And if we look at the life and ministry, his life and ministry in detail, which by the way, we will be looking at in some later messages here, we see that Jesus exemplified the work of a true shepherd. He had compassion upon the people. He loved and cared for the people, and it was practical. But he ascended back to the Father, didn't he? And he now sits at the right hand of the Father, and among other things, he's what? Interceding for us, interceding for each of us. And through that supernatural miracle called the new birth or regeneration, he comes to live inside of each of us. And his desire is to abide in us and for us to abide in him, right? Now he also needs, we saw this in Matthew 9, and desires to have under shepherds, those who have his spirit and his heart and his compassion and his love and his wisdom and all that he is, under shepherds that can now do his work here on earth, everywhere. So in Matthew 9, we see that Jesus says he needs workers for that great multitude. He needs shepherds. And the cry of Jesus was to beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers, shepherds. Now, we can't replace the chief shepherd, can we? But when Jesus was here on earth, he was limited by geography, by time. In other words, he couldn't be in Galilee. He couldn't be in Jerusalem at the same time. And he couldn't be in Samaria. But now that he has gone back to heaven, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's also supernaturally come inside of us and fills us with his life. We now can be his, we can do his work around the world. And because we have his life flowing through us. And that's the plan of God, that we show the world his love, his compassion, and that we care and love people. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's look at verse 5 verses. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you. I like that. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, but not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet is lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, who's that Jesus, appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But I think especially verses 2 and 3, it says, shepherd the flock of God among you. He's talking to elders here, of course, and elders are supposed to be shepherds. But as we saw in Matthew 9, all workers are to be shepherds. In other words, there's different levels of shepherds, each taking various degrees of responsibility. And so whether you're a house church or a small group leader, working with children, intercessing, really so much of the ministry of the church involves loving and caring and being, playing that role of an under shepherd to the flock of God. Now, the attitude and the actions and the heart of the under shepherd, what does it say here? Like Jesus, right? Yes, I know that's a tough standard, but isn't he living inside of us? Isn't he transforming us? Isn't he desiring to bear fruit through us? Isn't his life in us? Of course it is. And so we see things like, you know, exercising oversight, not under compulsion. You know, do it voluntarily. Don't do it for sordid gain. Do it with eagerness. Don't lord over the flock of God because it's precious to God. You know, prove to be examples to the flock, the attitude and heart of Jesus. And verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive what? The unfading crown of glory. What is promised? The unfading crown of glory for those who care for and love the flock and who are examples for the flock. And by the way, you can see this in other places in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. I'll just real quick, it says, for who is our hope or joy, our crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus that is coming? In other words, who's the crown? It's you, the people I'm ministering to. That's what Paul's saying. Or if you take a look at Philippians 4:1, sort of the same thing. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, you know, you are my joy, my crown. In this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. In other words, the crown awaiting us has a lot to do with the people that we are shepherding, that we're caring for. And for some, it might just be your family, but that's important. And that's a responsibility and a call from God. For others, it may be a little larger group. For others, it may be, you know, leading a church. But the point is, God wants under shepherds that are going to act like Jesus. John 21, a very familiar passage. And this is one of the last recorded times when Jesus was with his disciples. And it starts off, I won't go the whole story, but it starts off where, you know, the disciples from Galilee, it's after the resurrection, they decide to go fishing. And as happened once before, they didn't catch anything all night. And as morning comes, they kind of hear a voice on the shore, you know, try the other side of the boat. And so they kind of do it. All of a sudden, they start pulling in a big haul of fish. And they recognize, wait a minute, this is our master. This is the Lord. And so they immediately go back to shore. Jesus has a fire going. He already has fish on the grill, you know, for breakfast for them. And then in verse 15, a very classic passage. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter. Now, this is Simon Peter who just a few weeks before had denied the Lord not once, but three times in one night, right? And it says that Peter went away and wept bitterly. So he says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And we know why. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. And Peter, who actually just wrote that passage that we just read in 1 Peter 5, this was, you know, this is where Jesus reinstated after he had made a lot of mistakes. You know, Peter hears a very clear calling from Jesus. And the heart of his calling, be a fisher of men, but also to be a shepherd to the sheep. You know, feed my sheep. Just as Jesus was a shepherd, that's our calling as workers, to shepherd the sheep of God, the flock of God. One last passage, and there's many more that we can, and we will kind of talk about, believe me, a number of other passages because there's so many in this series, but Acts 20, and Paul is going through Ephesus, where he had spent 3 years, and he was going to Jerusalem, and he knew that he was not going to be going back to Ephesus. He knew in his spirit he was going to be taken prisoner in Jerusalem, and of course he did. He ends up back in Rome, and he actually dies there. So he goes to Ephesus, and he meets with the church leaders, the elders there. It says a lot of good things, but let's kind of jump in at verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in from among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will rise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. But the heart of it is, shepherd the church of God. The church of God that what? God purchased with his own blood. In other words, God sees, Jesus sees, the flock of God is precious. So precious that he purchased every one of them with his own blood. And that's our calling. One other thing I'd just like to mention here, a lot of things we could mention, but it says, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. In other words, the Holy Spirit has put this inside of you to shepherd the church of God. And just kind of a side note, just in the passages we've looked at today, we see that shepherds, overseers, pastors, elders, workers, yeah, there's some minor differences between every one of those. They're used in different contexts, but they're also all used interchangeably for people who are called to shepherd the church of God, the flock of God. And caring for and loving the flock of God is the heart of Jesus. And it's also to be the heart of all true, fruitful ministry. Don't be deceived in thinking otherwise. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to this truth that a call to be a worker, really a call to bear fruit, is a call to care for and love God's people. Yeah, I know there's all different titles of pastors and elders and different things, but Lord, at the heart of every worker, Lord, we know it's to care for your flock. And in the natural, Lord, we know ourselves. We know that we would rather care about ourselves. We'd rather put ourselves first before the flock. But we also see very clearly in this passage in Ezekiel 34 that that's not what we are called to. We are called to give ourselves and to love with your love, your heart, your compassion, and let your life inside of us flow through us. We can't do it ourselves. You have to do it. So Lord, we thank you, and we trust that you do this work inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen.